You are listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. We have an interview with Noah Rowett coming up, talking about, from Voice of the Martyrs, talking about the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm super excited to talk about it. Before we get into that, Denny, we have a giveaway.
We do.
What is it all about?
Oh, The Cosmic Conflict. That's a powerful book. You want to get your hands on that, How the Rebellion Ends. It's an adaptation of the book, The Great Controversy. It's short. It's in today's lingo. Chapters are shorter. Paragraphs are shorter. It's a brilliant read. I could not put that down when I read it not so long ago. So I want to encourage you to get hold of that. You just need to text in the code word, which is #cosmic to 0491-064-669, and you will get hold of this book. And this book will actually unpack for you everything that we've talked about and so much more in connection with those final events, that final showdown that's going to bring about the soon return of Jesus, the sound of the trumpet. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Denny. You're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. I love the passion. But we've got Noah Rowett on the phone here from Voice of the Martyrs to talk about what is happening in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Noah, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm so excited to talk about this because, I have personally become particularly interested in the socioeconomic and political situation in Africa and what it's been like as of late and over its history, particularly since colonization. And the Democratic Republic of the Congo is one of the most interesting countries. Of course, from being from Voice of the Martyrs, we're talking about the Christian situation over there. But man, its history is filled with riches, blood, violence, and strife, which wouldn't necessarily fare well for the current situation of Christianity. But give us some thoughts, Noah. What is happening over in the Democratic Republic of the Congo?
Well, like you said, it's got a rich history, and it's amazing testament to God's love and his mercy that a country like the DRC, as they call it, is predominantly Christian, and yet in the last, since independence, and even before that, like you said, had a history of a lot of blood. And in the last, I'd say, 60 years, they've had different leaders. They've had totalitarian leaders. And it's been a very hard place to live. And surprisingly, the Christian population has stood firm. Now, and that's amazing.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
We're talking about 80+% of Congo people. I don't know what the word is, actually.
The Congolese.
The Congolese. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. They're the ones, thank you, it's still early here, they're still staying strong and firm, which is amazing. So we have our VOM USA branch. They are they have people there because they're sort of training what they call the fault line. And what happens there is, and so we also partner with that, obviously Islam is encroaching in so many different countries, coming in from the east and, you know, areas like Ethiopia, Somalia, and they're trying to come in and they're causing a lot of grief. Now, a lot of these people were born Christian, they follow Christ, but a lot of them aren't like strong in the word, or their faith hasn't been, you know, strengthened over time. In a lot of cases, you could say a lot of them are nominal sort of Christians. And so when they get treated poorly by, you know, militants, they often fold. It's easier to fold to their religion. So we have to strengthen them. So that's one of the things that we need to do is to actually strengthen what we call the fault line with, a lot of Bible. Because, again, a lot of people in both the Christian kingdom and in Islam don't read their own, doctrine.
Yeah.
And so they're easily led one way or the other. So that's need to get the word to these guys. And it's not always easy. You'd think it would be. It's not always easy to get Bibles and literature to these guys, but that's really important. Bible schools and other things to really teach these guys what they really believe in.
Yeah, it's so needed, as you said. I mean, it's a part of the commission that Jesus has given us to go and to share the gospel and to teach all things he's commanded us. But particularly in this, I would call it a socioeconomically vulnerable country, a very vulnerable situation like the Congo, it's very easy for people to get swept up into radicalism if they're not sure regarding, if they're not strong in their own belief, in their own belief system. If someone comes along saying, hey, this is all the fault of XYZ group that's keeping you in this, you know, bad situation or, you know, a negative situation, socioeconomically. And, hey, the solution is let's get violent and go and kill people. This kind of mentality is sweeping across Africa in a number of countries at the moment. And, and especially in a place as politically volatile as the Congo, or the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So man, I love this from the outset. The work that you're doing is like, hey, the way that we can actually strengthen people in this very difficult situation is by getting them the word. That's powerful. My question is, okay, how do you go about this? Like, what is the outrolling of, you know, you're like, okay, we need Congo to know the word of God. How do you roll that out?
20 countries, would you believe, in Africa are actually Christian dominant countries, which is hard to imagine when you hear about all the strife that goes on there.
That's right.
But like Congo is right in the center of Africa. And when people think of the jungles of Congo, of Africa, it's Congo is like that stereotype.
Yes.
Getting the word in there is not as easy as it could be, because you think, oh, Christian nation, no problem. Well, it's again, getting through authorities. Sometimes we have to send, like mules, you know, as in, you know, with the inverted commas, to get, smuggle things in and from different borders. And it's really wild because, you know, we go from Mali, Malawi, all these other countries who are also supposed to be, you know, predominantly Christian, and we've got to smuggle from one to the other and do everything in a clandestine way. It's really, really tricky. So, like, it costs about Australian dollars, $8. It costs about $8, and so every $8 pretty much gets a Bible into their hands.
Okay.
And out of that, it probably costs two of those dollars, to be honest, to afford a smuggler, you know. It's crazy. And there are other parts of the world where we actually have to use, you know, we actually borrow drug smugglers to get Bibles in. It's wild. It's the only way to get Bibles into some of these crazy countries.
That is, crazy. That's,
we have to do what we have to do. And, you know, it's controversial, but we're like, they're the only people who can get the word in there, and they're happy to do it. As long as they're making a couple of dollars on the side, they're happy to do it. So it's pretty nuts. And it stops us from, our frontline people from getting, well, killed or, you know, tortured or captured. So it's, this is really, oh man, we call it, it's rough stuff. It's, edgy. And that's why when we talk about Voice of the Martyrs and our role in churches, a lot of it is for learning of churches, for churches to learn what's going on out there and to get them some perspective of what it's like to be a persecuted Christian in other countries. Because, you know, often we as Australians, we're more worried about the cake at the fete, you know, on Sunday, you know, and we can get lost in stuff like that. And we forget what it really means to be a Christian in other countries is life and death every day. So we just do whatever it takes. If we got to fly something in, that's cool. Our Richard Wurmbrand, our founder, he used to coordinate young people at train stations. And you know, when the Russians came into Romania and their windows were all open saying goodbye, the young people would throw Bibles in there and then in through the windows of the trains, and the trains would go, and then people would inspect these young people. They go, oh, I got nothing on me. So, and all those Russians would have all these Bibles and tracts heading back to the Soviet Union.
Wow.
It's nuts. You do what you got to do. And, to get the word in there. So, it's crazy.
I'd love to ask, so you guys are getting the word into Congo. Mm-hmm. What have you seen as outcomes from this? Do you have people on the ground there also teaching the Bible and working with the Congolese?
Yeah. What happens, the benefit of this is we have frontline people, but we try to have our frontline people from the country themselves.
Sure.
So we normally, what we do, a lot of training. And what happens in Africa also happens in Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
We train these people and then they often go out to other parts of Africa and then do the same thing and replicate what they were taught. And that is, teaching the word from scratch. This is pretty much what they called to do.
Mm.
Getting that message out there, then people understand what they're potentially dying for. Yeah. That's a really huge thing. And so that's their main goal there, is to be not only the – I mean, we're here to be the voice of those people. That's our name. But those people are there to be trained and to scatter. Often they scatter right through. But what they often do, they usually come back to their own country because, like, you know, like we have here, but more so in many other areas, they're very attached to their own homeland. Mm. And so they have a real heart for that. So they become the gatekeepers of Christianity in their nation. So they know that it's fraught with danger. I mean, Malawi is a classic case. It's a Christian-dominant nation. But the attacks there every day are horrendous. Wow. And we've constantly, they've got to build, they build their own schools, Christian villages, and bang, they get wiped out and they've got to start again next week. Yeah. You know, it's a constant battle, but they're aware of it.
We hear a similar thing coming out of countries like Nigeria, which is like Nigeria, a huge part of the Nigerian economy is church and Christianity and whatnot. Maybe not for the best reasons at times. There's a lot of prosperity gospel and whatnot going on in Nigeria. Sure. But simultaneously, it's also one of the hottest concentrations of like Boko Haram and Islamic attacks against Christians. Danny and I in the studio this morning, we've been to Ethiopia, and similar thing. You know, you've got Ethiopian Orthodox Church, and then all of a sudden, after we left, there was a socialist communist uprising, and bam, like
up in the north,
and then the destinations that you know you go and check out and see, all of a sudden they're blown up, and it's hectic. So yeah, definitely,
it's a daily struggle over there. Daily struggle, yeah. Incredible. Yeah.
Hey, look, we've got a couple of minutes left, Noah. In terms of the goals and future outcomes of in the work that you're wanting to do in these areas in Africa, like what are the steps from here? It's getting Bibles and training people up. Where are you guys wanting to go with this?
Well, we are the voice. So we want people to, when we share the voice, when we share what we do, we want people to pray for us, number one. Number two is we want people to subscribe to us because that means you get a free magazine every month and it keeps you aware. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very little cost to us and it keeps you aware what's going on. That's really important and you know what to pray for. Mm-hmm. But and you can do all that stuff and obviously you can donate. You can do all that at our website, vom.com.au. But what I want to promote this month is actually our app. If you go to the Play Store or iTunes, it's Voice of the Martyrs Australia. It's the red app, guys, not the blue one. The blue one's the American one. So we want the Australian one. And what happens there is you get with that, not only can you do those things, subscribe, but you also get a daily prayer reminder, like notification. So the prayer calendar, which we've promoted before, is actually also in there. So every day about 9 o'clock in the morning, I get a little reminder, okay, Uganda today, and it tells you a little bit about Uganda and what to pray for. And that's a fantastic reminder for all of us, actually, in our daily prayer life to, I'm going to add this to my prayer life. Oh, I haven't prayed today, and here's a good starting point. It's such a great little tool. And coming soon, we're actually going to be putting extreme devotions on that app, which gives you a daily devotion, and it's linked to what's going on in the persecuted church around the world.
Absolutely.
So, we're going to go for that. So, yeah.
Really exciting. Oh, it sounds like there's heaps of ways to get involved. It sounds like there's also ways to support the amazing work that you guys are doing. Again, it's vom.com.au. I got it up in front of me.
And that's the one.
Yeah, for people out there. And wanting any more information as well, you can text us at our number 0491-064-669. Noah, thank you so much for joining us this morning and giving us this update on what's happening in the Congo and what Voice of the Martyrs is doing to share the gospel around the world.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And you're listening to the Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. You're joined by myself, Lawson. I've got none other than my mate Danny sitting across from me. We are in the Breakfast Show studio. Usually you're here on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, I know. But I don't mind this from time to time.
An early morning rise?
Yeah, I don't mind it from time to time. I'm not really a super early morning riser because I'm not going to bed when I should. But yeah, it's good.
Absolutely. Well, we love that for you. We love that you're
doing
here.
Well. You're doing well for a guy that's only had a few hours sleep and, been in the big smoke last night for his big night out with his boys.
Yeah, that's right.
Unbelievable.
That's right. You're doing time. Well. What a time to be alive.
It's because you're like half my age. If I tried to pull that stunt that you did last night, I'd be gone. I would be gone.
I'm feeling it already. Hey, I mean, in sense of like, if I did this when I was 18, I'd be, man, I'd be in the studio with more energy than a good night's sleep.
Oh, you're not. You're not that. I mean, seriously, you're not even in your 30s, man.
But, you know, 26, I'm feeling it, bro.
26? Do you remember when you were 26, Shell? Do you remember those days?
Yeah. They were good, but
they were the good
I had
old days.
Little kids, so I was exhausted all the time.
Oh, man, true. Yeah.
What were you doing when you were 26, Danny?
When I was 26, yeah, I had a lot of energy. I had kids. Had kids as well. Certainly one of them came along. Yeah, one of them was here. I'm not sure if the second one was here yet. Mm. But, yeah, it was pretty full on. I didn't mind it because, yeah, I had a bit of energy and
You're out playing tennis.
Yeah, I didn't do as much of that, eh? While the kids were little because they want to go to the park and you've got to change nappies and all that sort of stuff, got to feed them. Yeah, I didn't do as much of that, but, yeah, when they grew up, definitely.
Back on the bike. Absolutely. Producer Shell, next quiz question, please.
All right, get your thinking caps on, boys.
Okay.
What prophet was demanded not to mourn for his wife when she died?
Oh, yes.
What prophet was demanded not to mourn for his wife when she died? 0491-064-669 is our number here for you to send in your answer. I kind of want to give up. Do I need to give a little hint?
No, I know who this is.
Okay.
You know why?
He was commanded not to mourn.
Well, I can't tell you why, but I know who this is.
You got it correct, Lawson.
Yeah.
What prophet was commanded not to mourn for his wife when she died? Send in your answer 0491-064-669.
I'm waiting for a calculated guess, but it's probably wrong.
But your hint is that it's already on your paper.
That's
so funny.
Yeah, so I'll give that hint to all of our listeners as well, because quite a few people thought that this was the answer to the last question.
The last question, yeah, that's right. Hey, 0491-064-669. We also have a giveaway for today. The Cosmic Conflict, How the Rebellion Ends, by Alan Sontar. This is a fantastic book, an abridged version, you could say a modernized abridged
version.
Written
more than a century ago, but when you're reading it, it's like you're reading today's news headlines.
Absolutely.
It is epic. It's great. It's the greatest book on end time prophecy outside of scripture itself that you will ever read.
What a recommendation, Danny. 0491-064-669-10. Text in our code word, which is #cosmic. We also have our birthday giveaway for the month. I'm holding here before me the Promise Bible. This is a beautiful material bound KJV. We want to give it to you for free, but the only way that you can access this one is by sending through your birthday, which has to be in March. And then
how are you
going to
verify that they're born in March?
Look,
is this just a trust matter? Like, we just believe that all of our listeners are dinky, die, honest.
Well, even if they're not, they'll only be able to enter one time because I'm keeping records of who's entered when. So if you say your birthday's in January and then you also say it's in March, I'm going to know. But
what if they make up multiple fake names?
Well, the numbers are all.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, so you didn't have to get multiple fake phones. It had to be pretty elaborate just to win this amazing Bible.
But the Breakfast Show listeners will be legit. They're honest. We're dealing with honest listeners.
They're not like these looking at people.
If we have someone who's dishonest enough to do that, then they need the Bible anyway.
They need God's word.
Promises.
That's right. Awesome stuff. Hey, I just wanted to comment. We just did a very interesting interview regarding the Democratic Republic of Congo, the work that's going on over there. I just think it's so fascinating, the history of the DRC and the things that that country has been through. You spent some time in Africa.
I've been there 7 times. I love the place.
Yeah.
And, the people are just, I mean, I've not been in regions where there has been heavy persecution, such as Noah pointed out, but that is present in a lot of the African countries.
Yeah.
However, yeah, the people are just so willing to hear the good news of the gospel. They're very down to earth, very humble, very meek, just beautiful people, very friendly and hospitable. And so they are just so eager to hear the gospel. They really are.
Yeah.
I mean, poverty levels are pretty high, depending on where you go in Africa. But they're just so receptive.
Yeah.
So receptive.
And it's ultimately...
It's a breath of fresh air.
Like what you just said there, the poverty levels are pretty high. It's the great tragedy of African history that has led to this kind of situation. If you can compare two countries, I'll make a comparison. Two countries. One of them, we're going to use the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And the other one is actually a country that I know you've been to, Denny, Botswana.
Mm.
So Botswana... is a country. Okay, let's talk about the DRC. DRC has one of the lowest, like, you know, GDP per capita.
It's one of the poorest on the planet.
Is one of by far the poorest countries on planet Earth.
Yep.
Botswana is one of the richest countries in Africa. Yep. Like GDP per person, per capita.
It's right
up
there.
It's right up there per year. I think people are making on average in Botswana about $30,000 US a year, which for the African continent is fantastic. The Democratic Republic of Congo is one of the most resource-rich countries in the world. It is literally...
It's a bit less than that. It's 7,200, according to my AI.
Which one?
Botswana.
That is...
GDP per capita.
That is false. I know for a fact that is false. I was reading this the other day. I was reading this about the... It's up in the high 20,000s. From what I, your AI is lying to you.
Okay.
100%. I know for a fact that that is false. Cause it was recently like announced that it was in amongst the top couple of countries with high, cause it's GDP per person.
GDP per person.
Per person per year. Yeah. So anyways.
Well, look, the GDP per person per year is one thing because you've got people who are not working as well. So that takes that into account. But if you've got just the workers themselves, it could be a little bit higher.
Yeah. Anyways, regardless.
Look, it's right up there. It's right up there.
You've got to
look, 7,000 US per year is a lot of money for an African country. It's a lot of money. Trust me. It's a lot of money. When you go to places, you Google Malawi, you Google, like, you know, the Congo, you Google Ethiopia, and some of those, you know, per capita GDP are way down.
So I've got a statistic here. GDP PPP is purchasing power parity in Botswana at the moment is $25,000.
Well, there you go. Okay, so depending on how you're looking at it. Yeah.
Anyways, but the point is that so Botswana is one of the richer countries for the people in Africa. Botswana is, and you can maybe attest to this, Danny. Botswana is one of the like driest. Botswana is a wasteland, you know, like basically Botswana has never had a history of large scale agriculture because like it is so hot and dry and desert there that they can't grow anything. Their history of like, you know, in terms of their agriculture has always been based around animals and like you feed up a cattle so that you can eat the cattle because you're not getting much out of the ground versus somewhere like the Congo. Or the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is incredibly resource rich, great environment for growth, you know, teeming with, you know, oil and petrol and diamonds and all these kinds of things. Yet Botswana is doing so well because of the government setup that they've got in Botswana. Yeah. Botswana has a very modernized government that is very about the people as well versus the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is the government that they currently have, although it's ruled by quote unquote locals, you know, it's ruled by the Congolese. It is essentially a rehash of the government that was set up there. It's basically the Congolese have taken over the power system that existed when it was a colonized dictatorship, you know, when back in 1908 or even pre 1908, you can look at the Kingdom of the Congo, which was already it was run by the Congolese. It was a pretty gnarly monarchy state that was full of strife and war. But then when it was eventually taken over by the Belgians, and it was literally the Belgians were forced to annex the Congo by Europe because of the atrocities that were happening in Congo. They were mining rubber in Congo and they were like cutting off people's hands if they didn't mine enough. And it was just a terrible, terrible, terrible situation. And then, so they're forced to let it go. The Congo starts being ruled by the Congolese, but the power system, that had been, the government system that had been set up there that was in favor of dictatorships and exploiting the people was just taken over by the locals. And that's the situation that we see today. And it's a really unfortunate story because they could have so much. Like it could be so good. It could be like the Congo could be, you know, in the amount of resources that they have, it could be like, yes, they have a high population, but they could be in an amazing position, but they're not due to the mismanagement and the corruption of the government. Mm. And what this ultimately teaches us, you know, seeing this is, hey, you can have some economic miracles like in the likes of Botswana in this world. And I think of a country even here like Australia and whatnot. We're so well off. We're doing so good. But despite all of that, we can only really leave at the end of the day. We can't have a government that's a dictatorship. Like, dictatorships aren't perfect. Democracies aren't perfect. Church and state combining isn't perfect. Church and state being separated isn't perfect. The only perfect government, the only perfect ruler, the only just and loving ruler at the end of the day is God. Because he's the one that, one, gives you all the resources, and, you know, similar to a place like Congo, and two, has the best interests of his constituents and citizens at heart, like a place like Botswana. It's the kingdom of heaven is the only place where it's really those two aspects are put together perfectly, and we live in perfect harmony and love and unity. And I think there's such a lesson to be learned from Africa and from the stories there, and that ultimately point us to, wow, like, you know, following God's principles and following God and doing the things in the way that he has set them up to be done, following, you know, Jesus's, as you know, advice and following God's word is far better.
Amen.
Living according to principle rather than desire.
Well, that's why Jesus talked about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things of the world will be provided for you that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's where our hearts need to be. That's where our minds need to be, seeking the kingdom of God and absolutely, the principles of his kingdom.
Praise the Lord. Hey, we're about to get into a Bible study. I wanted to talk about that because we're going to talk about someone else who claims to be running the world today in our Bible study. But I just want to read a few text messages that have come through. Firstly, I love this one from Sky. She said, what if it's your pet's birthday this month? And so, hey.
Wow. What can you say?
If your pet can read the Bible, I will happily put it in the drawer. But I'm going to doubt. I'm going to press the doubt button on that one. I don't think your pet can read the Bible.
But what if you read the Bible to your pet?
I love that she also wrote out hashtag cosmic. Hashtag the word.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, Wayne wrote in, he said, good morning. My birthday is in December. Can you prepare a really good present for in December for me? Thank you. Absolutely. You know what? Because you asked, we shall give. Watch out for December. It's a little bit up the road, but we're going to have an absolute banger.
Ask and you shall receive.
It's going to be awesome. We've got a few more text messages here. People writing incorrect answers and some incorrect answers as well for our quiz.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
And then finally, Margie here. How about Zimbabwe, guys? They are in the potholes. Very poor country. It's only the Chinese who have the money to invest. I'm sure their aim is to take over the country. It's a very, you know, what we see in Africa, very interesting situation, what we call the not just in Africa, but in other countries in Asia, in the islands, what they call the Chinese debt trap, which is in a situation where China and other countries do this as well, you know, foreign countries investing in poor countries so that they can have some level of geopolitical control and, you know, with all kinds of things, especially in countries like the Congo, that are quite resource rich as well. It's how it goes, unfortunately. And Zimbabwe is, man, another country with a history of strife.
Papua New Guinea is the same. Mm-hmm. You know, Papua New Guinea is very resource rich. There are many countries that are very resource rich, and some of the Western, you know, more powerful nations, including, you know, not just in the West, but in China and others, seek to exploit These countries, you know, they provide infrastructure. They'll provide incredible investment. However, there's a lot of strings attached, and they're trying to take as much as they can.
That's
happening right now with Ukraine and the USA.
Yeah,
you know where Donald Trump is trying to sort, you know, this minerals deal that we continue to hear about, and literally blackmailing the Ukrainian government, saying, all right, well, if you don't come to the party, if you don't want to play ball, well, then you're on your own. And so, you know, we're dealing in a world where there's a lot of selfishness, there's a lot of self-interest, and the biblical mandate of loving your neighbor as you love yourself, putting others above yourself, thinking of others and the interests of others before your own, that's kind of gone out the window.
Yeah.
That's gone out the window. And sadly, selfishness rules and reigns. And until Jesus returns, that's going to be our biggest battle. And it's not just on a geopolitical level, Lawson, but selfishness comes very close to home.
Yeah.
It's in my heart. Uh-huh. It's how I deal with my wife, how I deal with my kids. Is it about me and my needs, or is my priority about seeking their needs and welfare first and foremost before mine? This is where the rubber meets the road.
Absolutely.
It's easy to talk about Donald Trump. It's not so easy to talk about Lawson. And it's certainly not easy to talk about Danny. It's easy to talk about Shell. I can talk about Shell and her problems every day.
Whoa. Okay.
Now, anyway, you know, it's
the
easy.
The Shell slander is going on in this studio this morning. Look, you know, I love this point that you've brought up, bringing it close to home, because we can see it in ourselves, in our families, in our churches. I want to read you a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that kind of brings this paradigm into light. The idea of, hey, people that should be working for our best interest, not working for our best interest. And furthermore, the where they get inspired to be able to do that, and kind of relating to this conversation that we're talking about political leaders of the world and them not working in our best interest. The Bible says this.
Where are we?
I'm reading now in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says,
verse?
I'm starting here in verse 13, where the Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." So this is a commentary that Paul here, writing in 2 Corinthians, is making of people who are coming into the church, who are trying to get into leadership positions to ultimately lead churches astray and lead them away from the truth, right? And this is a very unfortunate situation. It's something that, look, leaders doing the wrong thing in churches is probably something that we can attest to maybe seeing as Christians, Danny and myself, and maybe you listening today. It's saying, hey, there are people who are coming in, they're false apostles. And then it shows us who they're inspired by to be able to do this. And it says, in verse 14, it says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So it's making this point, hey, there are people coming in to, you know, trying to be in leadership in churches who are actually false. They're actually there to self-serve, to self-seek, and to, you know, cause pain and difficulty and strife to others. And it says, and no wonder, because Satan does the same thing himself.
Well, who was the first one that was not content with serving?
Satan.
Yeah. He wanted to be served. And the whole point of love is to serve. I mean, love does not seek its own. 1 Corinthians 13. You're getting married this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the love chapter is going to be front and center on your big day. I'm sure it always is.
Sure.
You know, and love does not seek its own. That's a definition of love.
Mm.
And yet, you know, Lucifer, who became the devil and Satan, did the opposite. It was about him. I will. Mm-hmm. I will. You read it in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14. I will be like the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
He was not content living in a loving relationship with God and all the other created beings.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to live in a selfish environment.
Absolutely. And that selfishness doesn't just extend to the church, but to, as we've been discussing, political leadership and the Bible. We'll see this point in our Bible study this morning. It's like, okay, well, where do these political leaders, where do they get inspired to act in selfishness, to do the wrong thing, to be corrupt? the Bible gives us some answers here in our lesson today. We're going to be working our way through a bunch of different verses here, Denny. We're going to start in the book of John. So let's head over to the book of John. We're going to go to chapter 12. I'm going to start with verse 31. So John chapter 12 and verse 31.
All right, here we go. This is what it says. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out.
Okay, so it says the judgment of this world. This is Jesus speaking here. It says now is the judgment of this world. And it says here that as a result of judgment, the ruler of this world will be cast out. I was reading the, you know, reading this. I remember reading this for the first time, you know, reading this passage. I'm like, oh, the ruler of this world. I'm like, isn't God the ruler of this? Isn't God the ruler of this world? You know, hey, wait, how is God cast out by his own judgment? But the point that's being made here in this passage in John chapter 12, verse 31, is that the person who claims rulership of this world and who seems to be in control isn't God, but it's someone else. And this is Jesus identifying them here. Who is Jesus talking about when he's saying here, the ruler of this world?
Well, he's talking about the devil and Satan, who claims this world as his own. Mm-hmm. You know, he usurped the authority that God gave to Adam and Eve to be the rulers of this world when he deceived them. And so he sees himself as the ruler of this world because he said to Jesus, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. They'll be yours. Just bow down and worship me once.
Absolutely. So Satan has this ruling power over the world that is the most reflected. Again, Satan, you know, Satan doesn't rule through having a lot of money. Satan doesn't rule through, you know, having the strongest army. He's an angel. He's like a spiritual being, you know. He's a, he can be here and we don't see him. Satan rules through influence. And the point that he's making, how his rulership exists in this world, is the fact that he has such a large breadth of influence. And this is the claim that, you know, and this is the claim that he makes, and that Jesus is justifying his claim here. He says, hey, yeah, Satan can say this because he is ruling this world through his influence. Let's flick over to John chapter 14. We'll get some more perspective on this. John chapter 14, do you want to read verse 30 for me?
Sure. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me.
Wow. Okay, so making a clear divide and contrast here as to himself and Satan being the ruler of this world. I think, you know, when people ask the question, why do bad things happen? You know, if God is good, why do bad things happen? I think, you know, there's plenty of answers. We've been giving them throughout the last couple of weeks on the show as we've been making our way through our 20 million movement lesson. But one of the answers to that question is, oh, well, actually, you know, you got to ask the question, oh, well, who's ruling this world? Is it someone benevolent and loving like God? And the answer that it gives here, it says, no, you know, Jesus says, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Mm. The one who is influencing people, to, you know, to work, to do iniquity and do the wrong thing, is ruling this world. The Bible says here, and this is what the point that Jesus is making. Let's continue on to John chapter 16 now. John chapter 16 and verse 11 here is kind of a trifecta of verses that we're going to be looking at, highlighting this idea of Satan's rulership.
All right, this is what it says. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
Yeah, talking about conviction here, but yeah. Convicting the world of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan. The good news, we're going to unpack this a little bit more, is that Satan has been judged.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And right now, we need a quiz answer and another quiz question. Please, producer Shell.
Oh, that last one was a bit of fun.
Yeah.
What young... Oops, that's tomorrow's... Never mind. I'm just looking at the third one down. Mm-hmm. All right. What prophet was commanded not to mourn for his wife when she died? That was Ezekiel.
God that did must say, have been... That was one of those prophecies, wasn't it?
Yeah. He did say that he was going to give him some comfort, but he wasn't allowed to shed a tear.
Wow.
And he wasn't allowed to mourn at all. Yeah.
That's heavy.
It is.
That's
heavy.
A heavy situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. Our last question.
Please give
for
it to
this
us.
Morning. Who built the Ark of the Covenant? This is a multiple choice, but I want to see if you two can get it before I give the multiple
who
choice.
Who built the Ark of the Covenant? Okay.
Is there like a name?
Yes.
There is a name. Yeah.
There's a name of this person. Builder.
Okay.
Yes. So the number here, 0491-064-669, if you want to try to be quick and get the answer in before I give the multiple choice, if you do know it, now is your chance. We're after who built the Ark of the Covenant. And neither of the guys in the studio know it. So I think my multiple choices are kind of easy. Right. So it'll narrow it down.
All right. Give it to us.
A, Moses. B, Bezalel. C, Aaron. Or D, Noah.
Yeah.
Is it this guy?
It's got to be.
Guys, okay, I'm going to give you a clue. It might not have been Noah, okay? It might, potentially, I'm not sure.
We're not talking about the Ark.
The Ark of the Covenant is We're not talking about a boat here. We're talking about a box, all right, guys? So it might not have been Noah. Look, I'm looking after
so
you
So what
guys.
Were they again? What were the options again? So there was Noah, Moses, and what was the other one?
A was Moses, B was Bezalel, C was Aaron, and D was Noah. 0491-064-669. Who built the Ark of the Covenant?
Hey, got some more text messages here. Margie just talking about Zimbabwe and whatnot beforehand. She continues on. She says, when the Chinese invest in a country, they bring their own people to work so locals don't get the opportunity to work and earn. I traveled there in December between towns. The Chinese actually keep their people in camps so they don't mix with the locals, etc. You hardly see any of the Chinese there. They do a lot of undercover work, which is kind of wild. That's a really... situation.
Well, there are Chinese working in all industry. I remember going to Serbia, and in the village there where my wife grew up, where she was born, she came over as a two-year-old to Australia, there was Chinese people in the shop serving. I'm like, what on earth? Mm-hmm. This was just like totally like floored me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they speak perfect Serbian.
Wow.
You know, these are Chinese people. And so Chinese entrepreneurs.
Hey, there's a billion of them.
Gone out all around the world in places that you would never think of. I'm sure in Macedonia, there's got to be Chinese, Chinese shopkeepers and Chinese business people and so on and so on. They learn the lingo. They're very, very good at learning the lingo very, very quickly and adapting and finding a way to make, dollars and cents. So,
which is great, like, you know,
they're just incredible.
I love Chinese people.
Yeah, they're great.
My best friend's Chinese.
But they're hardworking.
In this particular case, the idea here is that they're importing Chinese people to do this work, which is that's super interesting. I know that China was funding the projects, but seeing that they're bringing workers over too, that's very interesting.
Well, they've got a massive population.
They've got people to send.
They've got 1.3 or 1.4 billion people, and that's an enormous amount. Mm-hmm. And so, now look, they're entrepreneurial. I mean, their economy, do you know where their economy is? I saw this thing on YouTube just yesterday. Mm-hmm. The United States economy, I think in the 1950s, 60s, somewhere there, made up about 33% of the world economy. China made up about 1 or 2% of the world's economy.
Is it 1933?
No, around the 1960s. Okay. So fast forward 60 years to today, the U.S. economy makes up about, 26 or something percent of the world's economy. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese economy makes up 16% of the world's economy. Mate. So they have just grown exponentially.
50-year plan.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, they're hardworking, they're entrepreneurs, and they just put their back into it, and they have results all around the world now. And they're fanning out right around the world. And So they are a great economic power.
Yeah. Another text message here. Valmay wrote in, to Lawson, may the Lord bless you and keep you. I'll miss your dull... I don't know how to pronounce this word. I think it's dulcet tones or dulcet tones on the radio waves. Shalom and thank you. I actually had to look that one up. Dulcet means like pleasing to the ear.
Oh,
I'm going to say, Valmay, thank you so much.
No one's ever said that to me.
Yeah.
That my voice is pleasing to the ear. I've said the opposite. But, sorry. That's the Malenkov. Malenkov strikes again.
Proving your point, bro. That's so funny. Oh, thanks for that, Val, man. I'm only going to be away for a couple of weeks as I, you know, go gallivanting in Tassie and live my best
life. How are you going to come back to work after just spending time, quality time with your wife?
Maybe you'll never see me again.
Oh, you will. You can't. Stay away. You love it here.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's so real. Hey, no, it's good.
And I mean, Shanna can only deal with like 3 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
So there's no way.
Like, please go to work for a while.
I'll pack your lunch for you.
Oh, dude. Yeah, now we're talking. All right. This is like married life. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you know what? There's going to be some surprises that you cannot even begin to imagine.
Yeah.
Because before you get married, it's all hunky dory. Life is one way. When you get married, life is in a very, very different place.
Yeah.
It's almost like that switch, you know, when you say I do, there's a switch that happens and Shell's nodding and, you know, every guy knows it's just like different. It's just different. It's just different. It's hard to explain. You've got experience it, which you will very soon.
Yeah.
Well, you're not living for yourself anymore. You're living for somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
You get to help them. They get to help you. It's really special.
And then when the little pelicans come along, when the little pelicans come along, then it changes again. Because then it's like, what about me? You know, what about my needs? What about thinking of me? And, you know, it's just a different world.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome world, but it's a different world.
Guys, you're listening to the premarital project here on
the
show.
So how many are you thinking of having in your quiver? You know, the Bible says, blessed is the man who has many quivers.
Psalm 127. Oh, love that one.
So how many are you planning? So, what's the plan?
So my joke answer to that is 11, which is
a cricket team.
It's a basketball starting five plus the bench.
Or a cricket team.
But hey, look, these are all stuff that we've talked about.
Soccer team.
I love Shanna because, you know, we're getting married with our eyes open in that sense that we've talked about a lot of these really, you know, deep, important principles about our future. And our thing is we're going to have one.
Well, to start off.
We're going to see how that goes. We're going to have maybe another one, see how that goes, and then maybe some more after that. I reckon
four is the perfect number.
I'm
part of a threesome. I'm part of a threesome, three kids.
Yeah.
And really, you know, there's always someone that dips out in three, two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost, you know, they can still have way too much stuff as two. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because they're kind of spoiled. They've got a parent each.
Okay.
Whereas if you've got four, that means they really have to learn to share and they really have to learn that life's not all about them.
So my fiancé...
I don't know. I feel like if I had three, the one in the middle would have to be the opposite sex.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd have your oldest and your youngest and then you'd have your girl or you'd have your boy.
Well, I've got two
younger
sisters.
So everybody would have like their little special... specialness about them.
Yeah,
but if you have four, then you got the two in the middle seem, they're like, oh, there's the oldest, there's the youngest, and then there's us, you know?
Mm. No. So we both come from families of four. And and both of our families go girl, girl, boy, girl.
Oh, right? Wow. So you're both part of a foursome.
That's right. And yes, there's the oldest. Yes, they're the youngest. But in both of our experiences, so Shanna's second oldest and I'm third oldest.
Mm-hmm.
But, and in their families, again, the third oldest is the boy. And I know for myself as the boy, as the third oldest boy out of four, I was definitely special and like treated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's because you were the opposite sex
that's
of
right.
the others.
Shanna, and then like, you know, in comparison with my sister Madeline, yeah, definitely that with the middle child. Like, yep. Same. That was the middle. They were the middle children. So hey, I don't know how you can work that out in terms of manipulating the genders and whatnot. We're not going to do that after they're born. We're not going to do that before they're born.
Go for perfection. Perfection. The perfect number is seven. Our mate Ben Ray in Coffs Saba.
Yeah.
Had number seven.
Good on him.
Had number seven, and he's a happy camper. He doesn't look stressed. Have you looked at Ben? He doesn't look stressed. His wife just looks chilled.
He's got a Faith FM show. He's just chilled.
He's loving life. Living life. Seven's the perfect number.
I love this text.
And look,
message.
You got a lot of years ahead of you, mate. You got heaps of petrol in the tank to keep up the energy that you need for seven
Absolutely.
Kids. I'm gunning for seven.
Okay, so... Sky wrote in, she said Project Lawson hashtag, which I'm assuming that's my future kids. And then Jason wrote in, this is so good. Three kids are good. always two versus one and it builds character. That's awesome. Are you listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM? Look, we've blown our Bible study time.
We're supposed to be doing something else.
We're supposed to be doing a Bible study.
Oh, hey, seriously, look, Lawson.
Let's
you always distract us.
Let's jump into 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Can you turn there for me?
1 John chapter 3. Chapter 3. So that's little John at the back.
Yep. We'll finish with this. Okay. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read verse 7 to verse 9. So 1 John chapter 3. Danny, if you can get for us verse 7 to verse 9.
All right. This is what it says. Little children. Oh, look at that. Little children.
Amen.
I'm telling Amen. You. That's I knew the theme. I was going. That's the theme. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God.
Yeah, look, simple equation here. Simple equation. We just read a bunch of verses that said that the devil is the ruler of this world. The question is, okay, well, how is he the ruler? And we answered that. We said, oh, through his influence. Through his influence, Satan rules the world. So the question is, okay, well, then do I have to be subject to Satan? And what is the answer that the Bible is giving here, Denny? What is it saying? Is it saying that you have to be ruled by Satan?
No, you don't have to be ruled by Satan. You can be born again.
Yes.
If you're born again, it says whoever has been born of God does not sin. So if you're born again, you've got Christ living in you, and you can make the choice to follow Christ rather than to follow the devil.
That's right.
And so that is why God at the very beginning of time placed that enmity within Adam and Eve so that they could make that choice.
Yeah.
Genesis 3:15.
Yeah. It gives us a simple equation here. It says, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he or Jesus or God is righteous. It's like, hey, if you want to know if you're ruled by Satan, do you practice righteousness? Like we can be assured. We can have assurance. I'm living my life how God wants me to live. Why? Because I can practice righteousness, and it defines righteousness. It says just a little bit up. It's because it talks about practicing sin and that Jesus wants to destroy the works of Satan.
I think
Satan
verse 6 is the key. But, is that where you were going?
Yeah, I was looking at verse 6. I was even looking at verse 4 here. Where it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Mm. This idea that, hey, look, you can know. You can know who is ruling you. Either you're practicing righteousness or you're practicing sin. And the good news which you brought up is the fact that we can be born again, because this reality is quite confronting to people. They're like, well, I do practice sin. So does that mean that God doesn't love me, that I don't follow him? I've got sin in my life. Is that it for me? Is there nothing I can do? And the answer is no. Submit yourselves to God. Give your lives to God. Give your heart to Jesus. Let him work in you and through you. Let him make you something more than you are, so that you can be what is described here, someone who is righteous just as Jesus is righteous.
Amen.
And when we're following him, it says here, hey, ultimately Satan will be destroyed, his works will be destroyed, and it will come to an end. We can choose to follow Jesus, and we don't have to then be destroyed. We don't have to be subject to death and sin and pain and suffering, but we can look forward to an eternity with him.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
With myself, Lawson, got Danny in the studio, got producer Shell on the decks, and right now we are going to, well, wrap up the show. Well, firstly, we need a quiz answer, and yeah. Hey, producer Shell, what are we looking at?
So, who built the Ark of the Covenant? It was a man by the name of Bezalel. And his name, he can find that in Exodus 37. The first 9 verses are all about the building of the Ark of the Covenant. And he was a very, very talented, very talented builder.
Mm-hmm. He was super legit.
God chose.
Guy who built it. Yeah. Interesting though. Like, is his name mentioned a lot in this section, or is it just?
Yeah. No, it's mentioned several times in those passages.
Yeah. Well, hey, he did a good job. I mean, the Ark of the Covenant was pretty
The Holy
cool.
Spirit gifted him with that craftsmanship. Mm. And so that tells us that the Holy Spirit, because we often think of the Holy Spirit gifting people in preaching, in teaching, prophecy, evangelism and so on and so forth, administration. But we don't often think of the Holy Spirit gifting people in craft, you know, in the crafts, in the areas of, you know, craft and the arts. We don't often think about that. So you can have the Holy Spirit gifting people in those other areas where people excel in.
It's interesting you say that. Yesterday we were having a staff meeting and our head boss here was giving a little talk and he brought up about put up a picture of somebody who worked at NASA, and when the president visited, the president asked him, "What's your job here?" And he says, "It's my job to get people onto the moon."
Yeah.
And
it's like, "Oh, what's your day to day?" And it's
what's
like,
your day to day?
I'm
job?
The janitor. Like, I'm sweeping the floors.
But he knew that that job was vital to be able to help everybody else to achieve the goal. And so for him, you know, it's my job to get people onto the moon. And all of us have our little bits that we can contribute to do the significant work that needs done.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's just no space to be proud in God's work. Humility is the glue that holds us together. I say that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and whatnot, but it's, I love the fact that we can come together as a diverse group of people with different gifts and talents, and we can come together and make that work for God's purposes. It's amazing. Guys, you've been listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. Pastor Denny, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to hang out with my mate Lawson.
You've gone from the afternoons to the mornings. You're experiencing the best of it.
Oh, I'm telling you. There's nothing better than being on The Breakfast Show. Nothing better than being on The Breakfast Show. Minus the breakfast. I've been waiting for some breakfast. It hasn't arrived. Nothing, but that's okay.
It's bring your own.
BYO. Dude, we had our mate Dan Livingston in the studio yesterday eating 10 Weet-Bix in just between segments. I was
like, 10 Weet-Bix covered in like a bunch of fruit. It was really, really good.
Where does he fit it? Because he's not a big guy.
He's not a big guy. I was perplexed.
Wow.
Shout out that guy, though. Hey, we've been living our best life in the studio. Hey, what have you been thinking about our Bible study, our breakfast show, the time that we're spending together? Denny, would you leave us with something to munch on, to think about throughout the day?
Well, probably, you know, we've talked about humility, we've talked about service, we've talked about the principles of God's kingdom and Christ's kingdom. I just want to tap into that fantastic passage that describes the humility of Christ.
Go for it.
In John chapter 13, where he washes his disciples' feet. They're aghast. Like, how could, you know, the Lord, the King of the universe, do this? And then Jesus says to them in John 13, verse 14 and 15, he says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And then in verse 17, he says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So to serve is better than to be served. Mm-hmm. And to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to show humility, genuine humility, put others first, that's a daily matter. And that's something that we can only do through Christ, as Christ abides in us.
Absolutely. Guys, we want you to spend time with Christ. We want you to get to know him better. And we want you guys to have a fantastic day walking with him.
Amen.
And learning how to serve others as well. Putting yourself behind others, putting others in front of yourself. But talking faith, living faith, and acting faith as you grow strong in Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful day. Stay tuned.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.